festive season. Members, first let me start by saying to the ladies, it is leap year, and you know what happened in leap year is that the women take out the men, and the woman buys a Valentine's kiss for the men. But let me take this opportunity of saying Happy Valentine's Day. May the love of Valentine, the rays of the sun of Valentine shines upon you all year round. Stay as sweet as you are, and all the best for you on this Valentine's Day. Thank you. And remember, spoil the loved ones tonight. Those of you that hasn't got the loved ones around you, spoil the pillow. Welcome to the meeting of the Select Committee on Economic Development. And we've called this meeting because we are worried about the rollout of the Integrated National Electrification Program of the Department and of together with ESCOM and with SALGA. Now there's a worrying factor when we visited, when we do visit municipalities on our oversight, we do get the report, DG, that municipalities are blaming ESCOM and they are blaming Energy Department. At one stage we had all three in one room in King Sabata, Tallinn, Lebo, don't know if I pronounced it right, municipality, and there you could see that there was really the point of them not talking to each other. Because when the municipality has blamed ESCOM, we kept quiet, and South and the Energy Department. After they've done with their presentation, they said, ESCOM, they already were there. Then they look, ESCOM is here. Then ESCOM says, no, we gave you the money. What have you done with it? For 2 years in a row, we have funded you, and nothing has been done. And then they said, no, sorry, ESCOM, it was not your fault, the department's fault. And then the department says, no, but we have approved the money. And you just keep on rolling over the money, rolling over. Then we found out, no, but the substations are too weak. So then they were blaming each other to say, no, but Chief, why didn't you send an application for the substation to be increased? We could have then diverted some of the money for the substation to start working first. And, you know, it's a blame game for everyone, and everyone is blaming everyone. And then we decided, okay, let's call them. We did have a briefing last year by the department and with SALGA and ESCOM, but we need to follow it up as the President has said in the State of the Nation address. It is by time that we pull up, get out of the jackets, do like the ladies do and roll up the sleeves and start working so that we can get work done. Am I right on the board, Fanny? Okay. Yeah, no, I just said, as the ladies said, and I think Honourable Sinclair agrees with us there as well on that matter, as the ladies do, roll up the sleeves. You see, the ladies are short sleeves next to you, so they're getting work done, Honourable Sinclair. With that, that is what we are here for today. We've got the Department of Energy, led by the Director General, Ms. Neliswa Kobane, welcome, ma'am, and compliments of the season, and I hope you had a good rest. As we heard last week on Thursday night, it's going to be a bumpy ride this year. I hope all seat belts are tightened and fastened, and because we're going to hit turbulence on the way, you know. But knowing you, I know that you can withstand and take this Airbus of Boeing Energy Department through the turbulence. All the best for the year. ESCOM has been led by Ayanda. Okay, Ayanda, I know it's a bumpy ride also. and compliments of the season for you as well, and Esco. But I know that we won't have blackouts with you guys there. You will give us whether it's torches or whether it's what else, but there will be light shining, candlelight or anything, Honorable Van Lingen. There will be light. We are not discussing Tagespan today with Eskom. It's on the INET program. It's the INET, but welcome to this meeting. And Salga, unless by... Gail. Now, why is Gail sitting that side? Gail, take your seat this side, please. Don't hide, Gail. Don't hide. Please. You know, it's the year of the emancipation of women. It's the decade, in actual fact, as they said. Welcome, Gail, and Sandile. And, yes. No, we will allow people now to introduce themselves. Because there's a couple of new faces we haven't seen in the room. My name is Freddie Adams. I am a permanent delegate of the Western Cape, chairperson of the Economic Development Committee, which comprises economic development, energy, and mineral resources. Let me start from my right.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elza Van Lingen from the Eastern Cape, and happy Valentine's Day.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Beth Abrams from Gauteng. Thank you.
Morning, I'm Kenneth Sinclair, Northern Cape.
Good morning, I'm Joe Manyambi, Mpumalanga Province.
Good morning, committee members and listeners. I'm Henry Eckstein from the Finance Fiscal Commission.
Mr. Abrams, PMG.
I'm Gail Eddy from Solga.
Lufanda Gia from Eskom.
Nelisuma Kubana from the Department of Energy.
Ayanda Noah from Eskom.
Sandile Mapumulo from Salga, and also reporting to the municipality of Etegwin.
Morning, Ultibana from Department of Energy.
Good morning, Nontlanhla Ndebele from Department of Energy.
Good morning, Ashwin Zain from the Department of Energy.
Good morning, Harry Nasenya from the Department of Energy.
Good morning, Bayanda Mzonele from Ministry of Public Enterprises.
Tumsan Kamate, Wazum Natal.
Good morning, Abdullah Hanif, the researcher.
Morning, I'm North Pure Denizul from Committee Section.
Thank you very much. Let me also take this and apologize for some of our members who are at the Information of State Security Bill, public hearings, not the secret bill. The Information of State Security Bill public hearings. Some of our members are attending that. They are in public hearings. Protection of Information of State Security Bill. They are having their public hearings in Gauteng this week. Is it Gauteng? Members? Is it Gauteng? Gauteng this week. Am I right, Mr. Harry? Tswane in Gauteng. This week, so they won't be able to be with us. But we know who's everybody, so tomorrow we don't have to read an informed source has said that and that. We know and now who's everybody by name. So if there's any of the gentlemen that wants to sponsor some of the ladies tonight for Valentine's dinner, feel free. take the cards and issue, get the contact numbers after the meeting, and you can proceed to do that. But DG, I don't know who's going to do the presentation, but over to you to instruct.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I will request Dr. Barnard to lead us on the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. Chair, committee members, thanks for making us part of your standard agenda. I think today's presentation, what we're going to try to do is to, from the department side, just highlight again where we are currently. But I think also in this whole process to be honest and open what our challenges are, and also share that with the committee. I think it's important also to mention that in the presentation that's been made, it's going to be covering the overall program. And as you know, this program is facilitated, planned, and then monitored by the department through the unit called INAP, Integrated National Education Program. But the main players of this is then ESCOM and the municipalities. And in the preparation to this meeting, ESCOM indicated that the presentation that we're going to present here this morning will also then represent the overall deliverance and some challenges that's also identified. Salga will then follow on to this presentation with some specifics around the challenges of municipalities and delivery of this program. So just in terms of that. In terms of our program or our presentation, to first ask if it will be correct, if I can just request that to change the original presentation that was forwarded slightly in two ways. The one is that when going through the presentation, I realized that in our previous meeting we had in November, there were two questions being posed by the committee and there wasn't time to answer. So I also added those two questions at the back of the presentation, so I'll also, and that's why point number eight, and outstanding answers. Although it was submitted in writing to the committee myself, it was also maybe good just to, again, just to look at it. So Chair, if it's okay with you, if you can just also deal with that, so that it's just an addition to the original. Thank you very much. So in terms of the program itself, it's funded from Fiscus, and then, as I said, the implementers are from the grid side, either ESCOM or municipalities, and then it's also on a non-grid side where solar systems, that means a solar panel that supplies basic electricity to households, those programs are implemented by the concessionaires, and the green blocks, they indicate that there is concessionaires involved, but you also see these below the green block also called municipalities, limited projects. We also now implement these type of electrification to different areas in the country, not only concessionary areas. In terms of the funding, and I'm going to start up front with the figures, I think it's important is that we do have to take cognizance of the fact that this is programs and plan on a long-term basis through the MTF allocations. The four columns there represents the previous financial year, the current, and then the two outer financial years allocation, divided between ESCOM municipalities and the non-grid part. Now, this specific slide, Chair, I want to apologize up front for it's slightly populated and a lot of information is on it. I think what we try to bring over in this one is that for a specific financial year, and I'm going to do it in terms of colors because it's easier for me to explain it. Make it this financial year, you know, 11-12. Make it, call it green. It's a green financial year. For the green funding we receive, it's unfortunate we can't get all the projects that's allocated for the green fund, so that's something great for the green allocation, finished in a specific year. So you'll find that some projects are finished after the financial year in which it has been allocated.
So in some cases even 3 years after the allocation year. But in the next financial years that you operate, there's additional funds being allocated. So it means in a specific year, like now, 11-12, we report not only on this year's allocation, but also the previous year's allocation that's completed in this year. So, but we do separate the connections. So hence why the reference to a color, green, yellow, etc. So although the connections are done in a specific year, we do know which connections were completed due to what financial year. So that's the first point I want to bring over. And if you look at that slide, if I talk about adult connections percentage, then I divided in the three current and the previous two financial cycles. And in the ESCOM's case, within a financial cycle, which in their case starts with the national government's financial cycle in April to March, they complete roughly 85% of all their connections in that specific financial year. Then the next financial year, they will finish the last 15%. For where we are right now, in this financial year, for instance, up to the end of December, ESCOM have completed close to 60,000 connections in this year. If we look to the municipalities, their process is slightly longer, and we're going to spend some time later on that, and also in Salka's presentation will also be alluded to that. In ESCOM's case, they complete roughly 45% of their allocated allocations in a specific financial year. The next financial year, they finish another 30%, and then an average on the third year, they complete the full amount for that specific allocation. Now we're going to, as I mentioned, going to talk about that, and ends also in the line just below that connections for municipalities in the current previous 2 years is also indicated there. And you can see those figures, for instance, 2010-11, around 55,000 connections, that's accumulative, that was connected in this financial year, right? It's not also counting 10-11. So 10-11 was only a smaller portion of that. So just give you an indication. So in this financial year we're in now, the municipalities haven't just only connected 26,000. It's 26,000 plus 54 plus 70, but it's due to different financial finance that I've received. Then the last line, if you look at the projected connections, you'll see that the total that the two entities, ESCOM and municipalities, are connecting per year is in the vicinity of 220,000 connections. And you can only, and then in brackets I put down the end of April, we will know exactly what was the number of connections that have been completed due to 19's funding. I think I had to mention that in the way the current program is running and the challenge that we have with respect to that. This one is basically just giving a summary, the slide on the non-grid part, reflecting the funding as well as the connections. We have increased our connections on the non-grid part quite steeply, and the next slide also gives you an indication of that increase. I just note that for the year 2005 and 2007, there was a dormant period where the program was not operating, but from there onwards you can see how it picks up in terms of the numbers of connections, and that was mostly in the concessionaire areas through the non-grid funding period. If we look at the third component of our connections, so it's connections, but also contributing to the backbone infrastructure, where substations connecting high voltage lines are also being funded, because currently there's a shortage of backbone infrastructure, so the fund, the INAP fund also are supporting infrastructural projects. And just on a very high level, if you want to, I can also go into the detail if it's requested by the committee. But on ESCOM's side, throughout the country, there's around 40, 42 of these projects under construction, and mostly in KZN and Eastern Cape, where there's a huge backlog in backbone infrastructure. And then for municipalities in the vicinity, 45 of these projects. And maybe just for completion's sake, I can just quickly, and I'm not going to spend some time, but it's just a list of the municipalities in the Eastern Cape that are involved in infrastructural problems. And just on this slide, the second line from the top, KSD, which has been referred to, and there's some problems with infrastructure. At least it can be shown that the Thornhill and Sedatwa substations are currently being upgraded, and the indications are also there in terms of that process. So we can step through with municipalities and also ESCOM where in the country these upgrades are taking place. So in terms of to show that we are then also at year to that request for infrastructure assistance. Then, with respect to this financial year, just a breakdown per province, the upcoming financial year, 12-13, just a breakdown in allocations for respective provinces, ESCOM versus the municipalities, and the amounts that's been allocated for that. Take note that is for connections as well as infrastructure projects as built into the total allocation there. The projects have not been identified, but we're in the process in the next couple of weeks those projects will have been fully identified, and if they are approved we will then sign up a contract with the respective municipalities. ESCOM's projects in most cases have been identified. We still have some of the municipalities that need to be clarified. Then I think it's important also that except for the normal program that is run, there are also special interventions, and one of them that I want to make reference to is the island formation that have been reported and that has been taken up very seriously through the leadership of our DG and the minister in terms of specifically in KZN, where you find a lot of times that different areas are electrified and then frog jumping takes place from one area to another area, and in between there's not connections being made. And this became a huge a challenge, not only for the industry, electricity industry, but in terms of our political leaders on local government level. And hence why there was a special initiative being launched with the department, and all of these are in ESCOM areas, most of them in ESCOM areas, and ESCOM has made a huge effort to address this with our assistance. And this is just a high-level summary of how we address that, some of those connections in these islands that have been completed, and the plan, and when we want to eradicate those plus minus 16,000 of those connections that fall within the definition of islands. An example of in I think it's the Zululand district, just a breakdown how we address those islands. But in also as part of a special assistance, I just highlighted here five of the special projects that we, flagship projects that we are involved with, that we gave very special attention. And special attention is due to the fact that in all of those cases, either there was hardly no infrastructure that could lead to electrification, or there was infrastructure, but due to various reasons, those infrastructure was not in a state where electrification could have been done, and we then have stepped in to assist. The step in the chair is not in terms only of finance made available, but also resources in terms of our own staff, personnel, or people that we appoint specifically just for assistance in those areas. And as you can see, number 5, the KSD is listed there, and we also form part as a department of the Presidential Relation Program of KSD, and Thursday night the President also referred to that intervention, I can say that from our participation in it, we can see the progress in it. And if you do happen to pass through Mthatha during the holiday period, you could see the 26 traffic lights are working. Unfortunately, three of them have been knocked down because the streets in Mthatha have been improved to such a level that the cars are speeding now, and they knock down our traffic lights. So on the one hand, good infrastructure also has its problems on a lighter nature. But that's just, if you want to, again, the committee wants some more information, I do have specific information on each of those special interventions. So I think this is, with this program, like any infrastructural program, a lot of challenges. And as mentioned in the beginning, I think we need to be open, honest, there are some of these challenges are due to the way that we may be managing it as government, but all in the way that it's been managed by implementers, but also due to reasons that is sometimes not falling one of those categories. I think it's important that we do need to take cognizance that the crunch of such an infrastructural program lies with the way you project manage it. If you don't project manage this correctly, it's gonna not deliver what you're supposed to deliver. And in that respect, we do have challenges from our municipalities. But it's not only due to the fact that they don't want to report and participate in the way that you expect them to do from a project management point of view. But it's a serious lack of skills. We know that not only on the technical side, but also to manage projects. I think sometimes we tend to look only at technical skills. That's true. But it's more than that. To manage projects is not a walk in the park. You need people with experience, and unfortunately, municipalities isn't structured in that manner. And also this year, specifically with the fact that this year, meaning this financial year, with our local government elections, new councillors have been elected. With that, also new way of seeing how delivery of services need to be done. That also caused us to start to get out of the blocks quite late. And if projects aren't being identified in advance, it has a serious knock-on effect with the fact that your procurement process, appointment of consultants, contractors are delayed. So we started a couple of months late with this program. So from INET's side, we had to really implement very specific initiatives to catch up, because we normally are having a challenge with the difference in the financial cycle of municipalities and national government, that we do start later, with this even later. So we had to really, and I will allude to it later, what INAP has done up till now to increase and assist the municipalities. But I think the one that I want to flag is that September we then regazetted around about 20% of the allocations that was made. We regazetted because there was either no movement from the municipality side, or there was limited movement for various reasons, and we had to step in and regazette that money to other municipalities, other projects where we believe we'll get quicker delivery, and what we have seen there are designs and processes that will ensure our delivery up to the level we want to have it. due to the fact that our municipalities' current infrastructure are in a very bad state, we find more and more municipalities are wanting first to upgrade the infrastructure before they're electrified. So it puts a lot of pressure on this fund. My apologies. And it was never an intention that this fund is to be used for upgrade. It was the intention is for new connections. So we need to be so wary for some of these applications comes in. So for each of the applications, we have to check, is this really for electrification, or is it just for upgrade of existing networks? And as a result of this, the current state of our distribution industry is catching our delivery of our electrification program because of what just been mentioned. In terms of the requirement, I haven't dealt with the overall figures. I can just mention that currently there are around about 3.4 million households being broadly defined, formal and informal, without electricity. The census of October last year will verify that later this year. But that's according to our information and our calculations with assistance of our partners. So if we put out the annual request for application for funds, we get flooded with applications. As you know, our total delivery per annum for connections is vicinity of 220,000, and the applications is four and a half times that number. So what happens after an allocation period as we're in now, INAP is just is always in a negative, in a sense that you either allocate too little to a project or no funding. So it doesn't matter what you do, you're in trouble. Everybody's upset with you. We really try our best to spread the funds. And as I said, I can go into the detail, but just an overall as productive and as intense as we can. Also, I think what's important with any infrastructural project program is not to do it in a short-term vision. And that's why you sometimes get serious kickback from the municipalities and communities, not understanding that it doesn't help just to put down a couple of million a year just to make somebody happy. If you don't go in and do it in a holistic manner, it actually not going to make an impact. And hence why sometimes some areas look as if we're not addressing it. But not realizing we're actually coming with the high voltage lines along, which is costing a normal substation, you're talking about 100, 120 million rands per substation. So it's huge capital funds we're talking about. In terms of the operational budget of the unit itself, I think there's a lot to be said about that. We're really struggling. As the department, the operational budget is very small to plan, monitor, implement, and we can't do it to the level we want to do it because of funds. And that's the direct way of how National Treasury is perceived in general. Infrastructural programs that's managed by departments. It's not only with respect to us, it's in general. And it also means that we stretch the resources and the way we operate as a unit. I think it's also important is that there's some of the projects that's been run by, implemented by municipalities in ESCOM areas or in their own areas. An issue that we have taken up with ESCOM is the high energization cost of these projects for municipalities. Previously, they could also have the opportunity to pay it off over time, but it's now that have changed that it needs to be paid up front before the energy. That puts a lot of huge burden on the municipalities. I think also it's important that we have this difference in the financial years between the two national and local spheres of government, which does cause those municipalities with limited cash flow to start with projects in advance. So they only start 3 months, 4 months late. And the reason for that is we can't, as INAP, transfer funds to municipality before the start of the financial year because there's no vote to accept that fund. So only a transfer 4 months later, which then, as I said, have a slow start. Another issue that is becoming a serious problem for not only electrification but for electricity in general is the whole issue about land plans. You want to put down a substation and you get you can be guaranteed if you want to put down a new substation you get a claim against that piece of land. And secondly, the long process of our EIAs. It's not, we understand the importance of it, but the time frames to it causes sometimes long delays, and then you plan to have a project up and running at a certain day, and then suddenly there's a problem with one of those two aspects. And then later area of housing projects, basically also linked to the previous bullet point. Chair, I think what's important is that we need to, those are the challenges, but it is also ways to get out of it. And I think we need to, as a department, we are busy looking at the EDI challenges and addressing that. But I think it's broader, DJ, I think it's broader than just our department. It's much broader than just this one department. It's an issue that we need to address as quickly as possible. Otherwise, not only education but other activities also be damaged due to that. We have, as INAP, built some capacity and a system specifically in our two biggest backlog provinces, KZN and Eastern Cape, to render systems to struggling municipalities. Within our limited resources, we are assisting there. Then also, what we doing is we do tighten up our controls on the performance of municipalities. But you also can't do it on your own. We have the assistance with from National Treasury that if funds are not spent, we from INAP request it back. The majority of cases, municipality doesn't want to give it back, and then National Treasury through the equitable share then withdrawing it in the next financial cycle. So that as a tightening factor, and then also I think that we assist also in some project management activities. We also from INAP side, as now the point where draft MOU have been established between ourselves, the department, and DBSA in terms of obtaining soft loans. So we from INAP side funding a project or a project that we know that can run for the next couple of years, but we can't fund it up front in totality. What we can guarantee next 2-3 years, we will allocate funds. And DBSA is willing to come in and then make that funds available equivalent to the outer years on soft loans, so that in that regard, you can start with the whole project's plan up front and start with your mass rollout in the first or second year already, instead of waiting for 5 years, and the payment will then come to the municipality and then use that as a payback to DBSA. It's something that we have started in 2-3 municipalities, but we want to go much, much bigger with this year. The non-grid site, we have also, as mentioned, extended it to throughout the country, especially there's some areas in Eastern Cape, Free State, especially Northern Cape and Northwest, where these projects will definitely assist with the lack of access to electricity. Chair, and I think also just as an end to my formal presentation, to make reference to these challenges that have been alluded to, is that I think where we are now with our electrification program, we basically 20 years down the track with it. It was 10 years, the first 10 years, what we can call the industry run electrification program, and the latter 10 years government run electrification program. And felt it was appropriate at this point in time to just have a moment and look back where we are, where our challenges, and then how to address these challenges to go forward. And the national application in Durban is planned for the 15th, 16th of March. It will be in Durban. The committee will, in the next 10 days, receive formal invitations to that in Durban. And it's also in line with the United Nations the year 2012 Access to Energy campaign. So it's also in line with that. It has been announced and requested and approved in the beginning of the presentation, is that to just quickly address two of the outstanding issues. And I think Honourable member of Gauteng, Abrams, I remember that last time you asked about the location of Clip Town. And as I said, there wasn't time to answer it. So these, on a very high level, Clip Town is like the majority of areas in Africa, supplied in some part by Eskom, some part by City Power, which is a municipal distributor there, or a city distributor. And just on a high level, on the City Power side, the backlogs have actually been identified and actually addressed on the City Power side in 2008 with a I think it's 1,220 connections that have been done. What happened after is new houses that have been developed in between that haven't been electrified. And those have been identified now. The figure that was given to me is around 150 are in what we call infill. So that's a house here, two houses there, which need to be electrified, and that the city power have applied for it and will receive funds for it in the next financial cycle to address that. On the Eskom side, there's two phases, and money has been allocated in 10-11. Those money had to be rolled over because the houses in those two phases haven't been built. In phase one, the houses might be completed in this financial year. If so, then they will be electrified. So, Chair, as I said, that's just on the specifics, but I can also supply more detail if need to be. So the bottom line on this one, Chair, is that it's infills and then two projects that's not electrified due to the houses that's not been completed. The second issue that have been raised is in line with what we said, and I think you alluded to it in the beginning in the introduction, Chase, is that electrification funds are transferred to municipalities, but as funds are not spent effectively. Now, there's a couple of challenges. I think most of them I have dealt with in my challenges part. But I think it's also important that we just point out one specific one, is that also the procurement process we need to look at, the long procurement processes within municipalities. It takes, as you know, you first procure to appoint a consulting engineering group to do design. Then you procure to appoint a contractor to implement. And sometimes it's 7, 6, 7, 8 months per session. So when the financial year is passed, you only appoint the contractors only appointed. So that's a big challenge. So from our side, we have to improve that. We do assist, as indicated, from the department side in terms of assisting where those are serious municipalities. I think what is also important that it's to share information, to share the process how the electrification program is working, and we held 13 workshops through the country to the latter part of last year, term of last year, to just again emphasise how we deal with it, what is the way to apply, and just to open up the challenge. As you know, we have in each province we have regional offices just for looking after INAP. The department has a regional office, but it's a sub office within our regional offices just looking after electrification. Exactly the same goes for ESCOM. So just to explain that and to open up the channels that you know, sometimes you find that if you have an address, if you have a telephone number, you can solve 50% of your problems. And that was one of the issues that we made sure that there's a close cooperation between the municipalities, ESCOM, and the department on provincial level. And then lastly, Chair, is that we also found more and more, unfortunately, that some call it misconduct are slipping in. Just as one example, where second-hand equipment are installed by contractors. Those contractors are paid full amounts, and then you will find out there is a cooperation between the municipality or the contractor and whoever is dealing with the funds. We find that more and more. These companies are specializing now in refurbishing so-called equipment. It's basically refurbishing means you just repaint it. So we are, those are the sort of things we need to address, and hence why that last bullet point. Chair, that, as I mentioned, is a very high level overview of the program, some challenges, and Chair, as mentioned, SALGA also is going to want to make a presentation on the specifics around the municipal challenges. So, Chair, I'm not sure how do you want to run it as to break you for questions, then SALGA, or that we complete it as a unit and then questions?
Take the presentations. Members will note their questions. Members, the DJ will have to... the DJ has requested to be excused at 10 to 11 as he's got other engagements with the minister in terms of other issues that's around. DJ, yes, your request has been granted. I thank you for honoring the invitation to the committee. But Eskom can't just sit idle and quiet in the committee meeting while the Department of Energy is taking the flag. Eskom is also reporting to public enterprises, so we either need to hear them or public enterprises. We can't put the silence on them.
Yeah, to the honorable members of the committee and colleagues.
Sorry, Salga agrees with me on that point.
Yes, Salga agrees 100%. In fact, I was going to address myself on that issue. To the members, honorable members and colleagues from the industry, good morning and a happy Valentine. I've got a Valentine right in front of me.
You.
I know, and I said it deliberately because I will define what the Valentine is. There was an issue raised that Salga had to do the presentation, and yes, because the issues are not exactly the same. But I think one needs to put on record that there is a greater cooperation between the department, Eskom, and the municipalities in terms of rolling out the electricity program. Chairperson, in brief, the Salga presentation, it's a build-up on the presentation that we did as well on the 14th of June. I think we love the 14th as a Salga. Basically, as the doc has indicated, the numbers in terms of the historical performance. The slide here shows the performance of the municipalities in completing the electrification projects and programs that have been given. While it may be seen as a not so good performance, but it also must be noted that with the municipal distributors, between 187 and 177 that get quoted, the capacities of those municipalities is vastly different. So then it then contributes to the averages being brought down. But it is important to note that I think the bigger municipalities are doing just as well, and then we have got those smaller municipalities that need significant support, and maybe as a committee and as the functionaries within the industry, we need to come up with the strategies on how we assist those that are struggling. The numbers here also show the 2011-2012 program and how the provinces are doing in terms of those electrification projects. It shows that there are a number of the municipalities that are significantly underperforming. Issues that we need to consider in terms of the electrification is that, as the doc has indicated, electrification can be divided into three main areas, and those main areas are significant. definitely different. We have got the rural electrification, which have got their own set of dynamics. We have the urban connections, which also have the set of dynamics in the sense that within it, we then have got to deal with the ever-growing informal segments in the cities. Currently, when you look at the INEP within the rural, we have a significant backlog, and the backlog is largely in the Eskom areas because Eskom is a distributor of last resort when municipalities do not have the licenses. And as you go deep rural, it becomes exceedingly difficult to effect the connection. I have spoken about the municipalities that are not licensed and that sometimes have to get money from different funding and also make it a bit complicated to manage those electrification programs. But I must step in and indicate that as the department, Eskom, and the municipalities, we are trying our best to ensure that those cases are closely monitored and managed so that they do not become problems for Eskom or the municipality or the department for that matter. The reason for that is that when the infrastructure is either needed to be handed over to Eskom, or Eskom has to provide or connect that built infrastructure onto the grid, you then find that Eskom may not have the capacity to do so because they were not informed in the first place. So we at the NEAC has made a recommendation that whenever they are going to be special projects, there has got to be that tripartite engagement between Eskom, the municipality, and the department that provides the funding. Many distributing municipalities, as the doc has also indicated, is that they are struggling in terms of the capacity to deliver. Most municipalities, including the big ones, have got up to 50% vacancy rate, and if they have that 50% vacancy rate, it then means that the service delivery is going to suffer a bit. Again, municipalities have got the challenge of consultants approaching them for the designing and managing the implementation of a project. And those consultants, when they approach those municipalities that do not have capacity, they are just doing it for money, not because they have the interest of the municipality at heart. So those are the issues that as the monitors of the program we need to guard against, because again, most of the time when these consultants do these projects for the municipalities, they then keep the design to themselves and not handing them over to the municipality, and therefore the municipality is left without the record for the electrification project that has been delivered. So to that effect, the department has designed the guideline on the 10 key projects for the municipalities. If you look at the urban environment, the urban environment has a backlog of around 25%. decide to electrify the informal segment, then it becomes also a bit difficult to do that, because we also have some informal dwellings that are situated in areas that cannot be electrified. And those areas are the areas that are situated in floodplains, in private properties, and the like. While the next bullet point talks about the reluctance from the department to fund the infill area, I also must step in and indicate that yes, from the NEAC level, a principal decision has been taken to fund the infill areas, and as we speak, we have got a draft policy document that is going to serve in front of the NEAC to then provide guidelines for the electrification of the funding of infill areas. The thorn in the municipality's flesh, we raised it also on the 14th of June. The requirement for the of the 80% occupancy for housing development becomes the delaying factor in electrifying the project within the municipality. As the municipalities, we are saying that when the houses are built, we are not building the houses, but we are building the homes. And the homes are characterized by having all the infrastructure provisions that are needed. That includes water and electricity. And then when we say that the houses should be occupied at an 80% level, does it then mean that those people that are in those houses before we achieve the 80% will stay without electricity? Challenges there are that people then do not want to move into those houses because they've got no electricity. When they don't move in, then those houses get invaded. So which means then that the challenge that we face here and we try to resolve with this particular principle is then creating another problem for human settlement and the rest. So from the municipality's perspective, we have been lobbying for the scraping of this 80% occupancy, and we are hoping that the department is going to listen to us. In fact, this is one of the major areas where we significantly differ, but in many other areas there's a lot of cooperation. I do not want to paint the picture that as Eskom municipalities and department we are not seeing eye to eye. The informal segment, a significant of the remaining 25% backlog, as I had indicated, is because of informal settlements. The number of informal settlements is increasing with the consequent requirement from political leaders and communities for the regularization, including electrification of these areas. I have indicated that the electrification of the informal settlements come with some challenges in terms of the areas where you cannot electrify. And the informal settlements as well also are problematic in terms of our achievement of the electrification program, because as they steal electricity with the illegal connection, the limited capacity that we have as the municipalities also has got to be used to chase the faults that arise out of the illegal connection. As I indicated, the department is currently providing for the electrification of informal settlements. There is a policy that
providing the required electrical reticulation. Each informal dwelling is also provided with a prepaid connection and the basic connections for electrical fitting. Again, here it's important to note that there is a joint paper between the Department of Energy and the Human Settlement, which seeks to regulate how the two will work to eradicate the challenges that we have in terms of the informal settlement. It is unfortunate that it is now taking almost a year before that the joint position is formalized and adopted as the guideline for how we are going to deal with the issues of informal settlement. It's also important to note that as we deal with the informal settlements, there are establishment of transit camps, and there is also an agreement at the NEAC level that the transit camp funding will be made available, and it's going to be supported by the department, which is a great help to the municipalities that aim at eradicating the informal settlement. If we look also at the informal settlement, we are saying that there is a need for planning alignment of the informal settlement upgrade program with the electrical reticulation of the Department of Energy to ensure that electrical grid is available when settlement upgrading projects commence. That necessitates that the human settlement provides the municipalities and the Department of Energy their upgrade program and the development plans for the for the informal settlement, so that when we do the planning, we do it in a coordinated function. Within the municipality, we speak of the IDPs, and if we follow the IDPs in earnest, this will then be able to resolve itself. An agreement is required on the removal and the recovery of the installed prepayment meters from informal dwelling to the new dwelling units that would have been constructed. And also the joint paper position between the human settlement and Department of Energy would be resolving this issue. So if then the position is adopted, then we would know that we have a way of dealing with this particular challenge that is facing us, and mostly the areas where ESCOM is a service provider. There's also a big outcry from the municipality in terms of the equity in funding of the electrification project. The outcry is based on the fact that ESCOM gets almost 100% funding on the connections that they get. The municipalities don't. The justification from the department is that the municipalities own the infrastructure and ESCOM is doing it on behalf of the department. As the municipalities, we are not buying there. We will indicate why we don't buy it. Electrification is a social initiative. And electrification doesn't make money. Electrification projects do not make money. They are a liability to the municipality distribution company. And therefore, I think the treatment of the municipalities and ESCOM must be the same. And that will then facilitate the ease of getting those issue. We have examples of the municipalities that have spent more than what the department has allocated in capital funding. But because of the high cost of connection, the numbers connected were less, and therefore the municipality had to then borrow from the current financial year to make up the numbers in the previous financial year. And we thought that that was an unfair treatment on the municipality. But while I'm saying that, I must say that the engagement between the municipalities and the department are always continuing on that. And if you look at the funding for this for the coming financial year, the gap is being closed, and we are hoping that it's going to lead towards the recommendation from the municipalities for the 100% funding for the connections, especially in the rural areas. The DOC has also indicated that the application process becomes a little bit of the challenge because of the misalignment between the municipal budgeting processes and the department's funding period. Also, the 3-year DORA allocation. It would be nice if the municipalities can depend on those 3-year DORA applications so that they have some certainty in terms of what they can get for those financial years, so that when they start, they know that there is this estimated funding that could be received from the department, and therefore we would not be flouting the MFMA provision. The DOC has also indicated that National Treasury can only release the electrification funding to the municipalities from the 1st of July, when the program starts on the 1st of April. What it means then is that municipalities only have 9 months to deliver those projects in terms of the department's funding period. So that then contributes to the slow delivery on the part of municipalities, unless municipalities have the bridging finance for that. And when they provide that bridging finance anyway, they are in conflict with the provisions of the Municipal Finance Management Act. But then we have got to draw a balance between the delays in service provision and the compliance with the law to the T. In general, we are then saying that the issues of bulk infrastructure, some of the projects may not proceed without the availability of the bulk infrastructure, and as Dr. Banat has indicated, the municipalities may not also have the funding to pay Eskom to connect at that particular time, and those issues need to be resolved. But again, it was encouraging. I think last week when we were at the AMEU exec committee, where Eskom indicated the phase-in payment, which can be over two-year period, and that's the light at the end of the tunnel. It shows that we are starting to meet each other halfway. The misalignment between Eskom infrastructure and the municipal development plan, and as we indicated, this can be that can be resolved by ensuring that Eskom gets actively involved in the IDP processes of the municipalities. Many municipalities point to the drawn out procurement process, which the DOC has spoken about. But for me, I think it, it, in terms of the recommendation, we need to have some shared capacity to provide technical support under-capacitated municipalities, and also, as Dr. Barnard has indicated, capacitate INEP regional offices to play this role. But I always then say that when we do that, we must ensure that we do not create the areas where there are duplications. The INEP regional offices must capacitate themselves in terms of the monitoring and the management of the program. And the municipalities must then capacitate themselves in terms of the ability to deliver the programs that they've got on their plate. Yes, the INEP offices should be the points of coordination and the planning alignment between the electrification projects and funding agencies. We have alluded to the issue of the provincial housing departments making sure that the approved housing development plans are communicated to the municipalities and the Department of Energy, so that the plans for electrification would be aligned with the program for the housing. The department must also allow the upgrade of the existing infrastructure required for electrification. Where the municipalities are coming from with this is that with the numbers that we connect for electrification, the capacity gets depleted, and there must be a way of then saying that even if the municipality did not have a particular substation that they needed to plan for, but once we have connected a number that would be equivalent to the development of the substation, I think they need to be compensated for that, so that their backbone infrastructure to support the non-electrification projects and the electrification projects will be maintained. I have indicated that the department has committed to the electrification of the infill areas, and the policies are in place. We are strongly recommending the scrapping of the 80% occupancy rate requirement, and we are hoping that the committee is going to rally with us and convince the department that this needs to be scrapped. And when that happens, not only helping the municipalities, it's helping the department as well, in that the program that they have bought and have reported to the National Treasurer will then be moving along quicker. Well, I do not want to belabor the point in terms of the National Housing Program and the meters that need to be moved. I think, in short, for me, we then need to say that there has got to be that adoption of the joint paper that will give the NEAC some authority to then enforce the conditions that are put in that joint paper. Also of importance,
very much, Chairman. Good morning to yourself and also to the honourable members and also to the colleagues that are here today. First of all, Chairman, if you may just allow me to register the apologies from our chief executive who wasn't able to come into the presentation himself, and our chairman as well, Hanbai, and here. But again, my colleagues, if I can just remind you who they are, Dato Isaac Sokopo, there is our senior manager who is looking at industry support and liaison. And Nomvula Kungwane is responsible for the electrification program. So she will have most of the answers that the team or the committee members will ask today relating to electrification. Lusanda Chia and Karen De Villiers are also supporting us from Corporate Affairs Division. Chair, as Doc has already said, you know, our presentation, we are the implementer of electrification, and as such, we're quite comfortable with the presentation that he has made. We have, you know, obviously the content is aligned, we provide the input, so we felt very comfortable that the committee just sees an integrated electrification program rather than see separate programs. And also it has been the guidance from the past presentations, you know, that we will make one presentation and then we'll come here as support. But maybe I should just point out a couple of issues, and maybe the first one is to say that we definitely share the concerns of the committee, you know, in terms of you know, service delivery or very slow or slow pace of electrification. We share the concerns. And in fact, I'm reminded by the service delivery protest that we saw in Mpumalanga last night, Kabokweni, and also in Mbombela. And we know that they are triggered by service delivery issues, be it water, be it any other infrastructure, and also electricity also always plays a role in this. And my colleague Sandile has already talked about illegal connections. What we find is that if the pace of electrification is slow, then you'll find that people will see that next door somebody has electricity and they tap into that. Not only is it, you know, illegal connection as it is, but it's also dangerous to them. You know, the kids play there and, you know, they injure themselves, they get killed in the process. So it actually does show that it's something that needs to be attended to as a matter of urgency. And these are the things that we share with the department, you know, to make sure that from an electrification delivery point of view, we must deliver what we have contracted to deliver and do that as fast as we can. In, you know, with the municipalities, our plans are informed by the IDPs. You know, we work with the municipalities to derive our electrification plans for the year based on the IDPs. And the other point, which I think is really critical, and it is something that we have been invited to come to Parliament to talk about as well, is the whole challenge around the industry, you know, the state of the infrastructure in the industry. It is in a bad shape. It really is in a bad shape. So as the industry experts, we are going to get together and really talk about how do we go forward in the absence of EDI restructuring, because we know that that has been stopped. And maybe, Chair, I will just stop at the point to say that you have our assurance that we are definitely rolling up our sleeves. You did say that women tend to just roll up sleeves and get into the kitchen, take off our shoes, our high heels, and work. We do that, Chair. I can assure you of that. When there are issues that the DOE has seen, we actually go out in the field and we investigate and then we put plans together. As you have seen, the islands that were put up on the slides in Doctor's presentation, we do roll up our sleeves, and you definitely have our commitment that we will continue doing that. And I will leave it at that and support on the questions that will be asked by the committee.
Thank you, Doctor with the Department of Energy, SALGA, and ESCOM. Members, there is tea outside. I think let's break for 5 minutes, grab a cup of tea, and come back. Karen, why don't you welcome Karen De Villiers. Welcome. Take a seat next to the Honourable Lady, and happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you very much. Sorry that I was so late.
Don't hide away, please. Come sit here, let us see you. Members, just grab a cup of tea, and then we will come back in 5 minutes. Thank you.